Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi cover the punk rockinist, hip hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vadadi.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
We're recording. Nima.
Yo,
we found
what's
Nima.
Up, man?
Yeah, it's like the 30 Rock where Tracy Jordan goes to Cleveland and no one can find him on his six cell phones. I just watched that.
That's great. Yeah. Great show. I haven't watched any of the new season. Is it any good?
Yeah, I say it's better than any of the other ones. It's friggin' it's amazing, and they like bust harder on General Electric than they ever have.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's weird. Okay. But they are General Electric. It's, you know.
Or they used to be? But they are now. They still
NBC
are?
Is owned by General Electric. Yeah,
I thought they were bought out by the people who Cabletown is making fun of. Who's that? Comcast.
That's what someone said. Yeah.
No, I did. I did also find that on the wiki. I think.
They're still owned. They're still owned by General Electric.
Yeah. Okay.
They used to be owned by RCA. Oh wait, they're kind of owned by like four people. It's like General Electric, Vivendi, NBC Universal, and the Shinehart Wig Company.
Nice. Okay. So Comcast just sort of bought into the system rather than buying it from the system.
So I couldn't find you today. Well, I've been trying to get hold of you for 3 hours. I like called your brother. He called your mother and got your wife's phone number. And I called her and emailed her and I had your whole family like fucking thinking you were dead in a ditch because you your new phone powers down when it's done charging.
I don't think maybe that's not what happened. I don't know if I want to throw the shot at the phone yet. We'll see what happened. But yeah, the phone was off. I did plug it in last night and it was fully charged. I'm guessing what happened was maybe it died like right before I plugged it into charge, like when it was in my pocket. You know, because it was on as I was driving home, but maybe it died before I, you know, actually plugged it in. And I know some phones, I think, if you plug them in when they're dead, they'll stay dead and won't turn back on until you turn them on again.
Maybe I was not ready to replace you for good, but I was ready to replace you for the day. I called Ben Quaker and asked him if he could do it. Because the show must go on, man. Yeah, the show must go on. I was burning the podcast. I feel like I've been let out of
I would be gone all day?
Like I've been let out of a pod cage, man. I'm ready to roll. Yeah, I called Ben. Ben is like, yeah, I'd love to do it, but I'm, you know, I'm in my car driving to a funeral.
Wow.
And I think he actually
that is how much you want to podcast. You're calling people who are on their way to the dad's funerals, and he called my whole family. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was ready to be like,
never question Michael's passion for liberty.
I had Charlie sitting on my desk putting a microphone in front of her. I was going to call Frank too. I was going to say, well, Frank, he's a Vidotti. This will work. But he's at work.
He's at work. He can't be at work yet, man. I thought he was a bartender. Who's drinking at noon?
Frank.
Probably.
So Frank wrote a good review of the Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle DVD, and it's on Coplock, his first article for Coplock.
That's awesome. Kudos and congratulations, Frank.
Yep. Got some interesting news here about pod beefs and things like that. Wow, did you send me a message on Pigeon?
I'm trying to message you on Pigeon and it's like in a loop.
Did you refresh it? Start private.
I always refresh, man. That is like, I always do it. And you're like, you never refresh. But I always click private. Well, and I click refresh private conversation. And sometimes it'll just like scroll through like
I'm tons turning it of off. Paragraphs. I'm turning it off. I don't need that crap.
Don't need pigeon.
I got you. I finally got you, man. I got you right here.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's see. We have a couple new policies. One is that the comments on the Fiend's blog and the Fiend site and all my blogs, now the newest comment is first instead of last. And the reason I did that is because we have a new site, a new page on the Freedom Fiends blog of torrents, where Sean Duvalli is archiving all the torrent links, as well as doing it on the Twitters, because Twitter, after a year or so, like, you can't find the posts anymore.
That's kind of lame. Why do that? I kind of feel like one of the beauties of the internet age is you don't ever have to lose anything that you do or write. It, like, automatically exists on the internet forever.
Well, Twitter's kind of like the digital chalk on the sidewalk, you know? And I think
I get that. And I mean, that's sort of their philosophy.
I'm sure part of it is so they don't have to buy so many million more servers, but
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Is it a cost? But part of it is just, it kind of goes along with the thing of like, well, today I'm having a cheese sandwich for lunch, you know?
That doesn't need to be preserved for the ages.
No, man, it's a chalk on the sidewalk waiting for the
rain.
Maybe
it does. I mean, like, future people who are, you know, what are they called? Archaeologists are going to be digging and finding people's tweets. I guess they can't, but wouldn't that be cool?
There's some sites that
ate for breakfast and all
there's,
that.
There's a few sites that that save tweets, but not for that long and not consistently, like all of them. Like when I realized from posts on YouTube that what's his name, the movie critic, had tweeted my little video about my daughter dying.
Roger Ebert should eat less fatty foods.
Yeah, Roger Ebert. Yeah. You know, I mean, I knew he'd done it. It was like 2.5 years ago, and I couldn't find it. I went to like 10 sites that archive twats.
And, yeah.
And someone else finally found it for me. Like, I don't know where, okay. But you know.
Yeah. Well, I think you can get your tweets to automatically go to your Facebook, you know, as comments or wall posts for your own Facebook page. We could do that for like the Guns and Weed page, or I mean,
we actually have that. I think for Sean's tweets about the
about go get the torrent. Like,
yeah, I took it off because it was just like confusing and weird and like, you know. Go subscribe if you want. So, speaking of YouTube, I had some heinous comments on YouTube on the, and I've always said that YouTube has like the most heinous comments. And I think this was a teenager living in his mother's house, from based on like the videos he liked. It was all like MMA and like video game stuff,
World of Warcraft,
like really violent video game stuff. He commented on the gun training with the non-aggression principle. You're a fucking idiot.
And was he talking to you, or was he maybe talking to another commenter?
No, he was talking to me.
Because sometimes trolls try to pick fights with people who are commenting on the page.
Well, I checked this guy out. He's a troller. I don't know. He might have been talking to the guy in the video, Jared, or he might have been talking to me. And I went and looked him up, and like, you know, he's in Australia. He's a video gamer. And I said, you know, he said, you're a fucking idiot. I said, so says the guy who lives in a country where you can't own guns, and the only gun you've ever had held in your hand was in a video game. and then
well, are you implying he's an idiot because of that? Because that's kind of equally collectivist.
Or not, I know, collectivist, I know. But then he commented back, "You're a fucking idiot, and I hope you die in a ditch."
Okay. He's just trying to piss people off, man. That gets them off for some reason.
I pissed off a fan today, a Fiend fan.
Did you?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, man, I've been up pissing people off since you were like going to bed, man.
Seriously.
So we have another new policy, which is
policy, man. When did we start coming up with all these new policies? Like, do I have to sign the new bylaw agreement or what?
No, you're part of the Fiend social contract by not answering your phone, man. I just approve it.
Got it.
Hey, it's our private property. We can do that, and you could always, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
say
I'm
F
just
you kidding. And go start the NEMA Fiends or something. But
I could.
I don't think you would.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't.
I'd love it if you did. I mean, you know, but
you'd
I'm
love it if I did. I'd love it if you left.
No, I'd love it if you started something else too. People writing me on Facebook and saying, "Please like my page. Please like me."
Those words. Yes, who would write that?
Please like my new page. Yeah.
No. Don't ask me to like it. Tell me about it. If I like it, I like it.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah. It's, I mean, think of it in real life. If someone like, you know, please like me. Please like my band. You know, like my movie. Well, I do it all the time. I say please comment or review on iTunes, and people should
That's saying say something about this.
Well, no, it's usually say that when people say they like something, I say, cool, can you go put it somewhere that matters, like iTunes or Amazon? Digital, you know, the not the chalk on the sidewalk that is Facebook, that, you know, everything goes away and no one can read it except the government.
Does everything go away on Facebook? I thought like you could go back and see all your old.
It
does get buried. But you can dig for it. You can still find it.
I think putting in the comment, making our blog so the comments are at the top, is kind of influenced by Facebook and Reddit too. That's how they do it. And I got
Reddit, what was at the top was voted up to the top. We could do, like that.
It is on the front page.
The posts in themselves, the comments in them.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Are chronological with newest first. So,
okay.
I wrote a blog post called Why I Hope Romney Wins, which people should go check out on the Fiends blog, which is, and then I reposted on libertarianpunk.com as an anarchist explains why he hopes Romney wins. And I posted them, one of each, the same article on Reddit. Anarcho-capitalist subreddit and the libertarian subreddit. And the anarcho-capitalists are like totally voting it up. And the libertarians are voting it down and then arguing a lot of them are arguing like why. Well, you know, I think Obama is really the lesser of the two evils here and I hope he wins.
No, that's engaging in the actual process. What you were doing was trying to let people know that if Romney wins, it'll let people know how screwed up the process is.
I'd love to see a bunch of liberals screaming. Secondly, I think Obama being the tyrant for 4 years has driven every libertarian who thought he was Republican or conservative to libertarianism and on towards anarcho-capitalism. And when Ron Paul loses, there are going to be a million new anarchists the next morning. I just think it's time for Romney to do that to the smart Democrats.
Yeah. I think you're totally right about that. And, you know, I also think that, every 4 years, if we have a new person and the whole point of the election is, wow, everything's so horrible, nobody likes the direction the country is going in, let's change it. And if that keeps not actually changing anything and we just keep having it every 4 years as opposed to maybe every 8 years, maybe Americans have that long term of a memory where they can remember 4 years ago and, hey, it still sucked then. So maybe it'll help to denigrate or discredit the presidency anyway.
Yep. So this other new policy we have is for submitting show prep. Basically, if people want to submit ideas for news items that the Fiends should cover or something they want the Fiends to cover, I don't think this bugs you as much as it bugs me, but I get so many Facebook notifications and emails to my private personal email address, and we get a bunch to talkbacktofreedomfiends.com, which we've invited people to do in the past. And that was kind of
you could do like I do and only check your private messages and not your notifications. I just let them roll and roll.
Yeah,
and roll.
We determined yesterday that Nima didn't even know what the little red dots were at the top of Facebook.
Oh, I knew what the red dots were, man. I just never cared to click on the globe. Yeah. I don't ignore them. I every time I have one for friends, I'll accept them. Every time I have a message, I check it out and I'll respond. I get lots of private messages. But everything else is, you know, stuff that I could look at on my wall or stuff that I don't need to look at unless I go there. I guess if I was, you know, obsessed with Facebook, I'd be on it all the time.
Like me.
Like you.
I'm obsessed with hating it. So,
you are. You have this love-hate relationship.
I hate it.
If Facebook ended tomorrow, what would you do? You would be so pissed off. You would have postpartum depression.
I'd be pissed off. No, I'd be pissed off for a day. And I'd probably, like, forget and get up in the middle of the night and try to check it anyway.
Checking it for like a year.
No,
I'd
start another podcast. And I actually have a theory.
You have that much more time.
I mean, Facebook is getting so screwed up. Like the other day, you know, I had it so all my posts were friends only, and they changed it without telling anybody to where everything's public, and you have to like, if you want it friends only, you have to do it on each post, which I don't like because, you know, I don't want to argue with idiots with, you know, Obama humping, labor union guys that want to eat my face for saying
Romney
and Obama.
You don't have to argue with them. See, that's the thing. Like,
I do. Yes, I do.
What I
do
is is I'll argue with them when I feel like it. And also, that's what not checking the notifications does, is I'll see something on my wall and I'll be like, wow, that's so square, that's so status. And so I'll complain about it and I'll drop, you know, the mad libertarian science or the macho libertarian flash. And then I'll just walk away. You know, I just drop
it. You should drop it.
I walk away from the convo, man.
I drop it and then block them when they respond after they read it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, you think you're so special just because you have a life outside the internet. F you, man. You have family that loves you, and you want to hang out with them. And I got my wife, but, you know, she likes being on the computer, too.
But she she also likes to read books. So what are you supposed to do while she reads books? You got to make media or yell at people on the internet.
Yeah. So I have this new policy where if you want to submit a news item to the Freedom Fiends, you should go to the Freedom Fiends website, and there's a link up at the top that says submit news items. And you go there, and you post it as a comment. Before you post it as a comment, please read the recent comments and see if someone else has done this. Because part of the problem is I get 10, 20, 30 of the same thing in a week. You know, people saying, hey, have you seen this news item? Have you seen this news? And it's like, I'm basically trying to deal with future shock and like information overload.
Yeah.
So I would appreciate it if people want to submit stuff. If you want to write us and talk to us about something, write to Talk Back. If you
Talk Back is great too. Yeah. You know,
no, but I don't want news items coming in to Talk Back is what I'm saying. Even though we've said in every episode, you know, hey, and had these little bumps, I want to change that policy.
And I think we still will get them, and maybe we shouldn't get angry. Hopefully the number will reduce.
Well, we don't get angry.
There'll be people that are listening to past episodes and hear that.
Right.
We'll do
even
it
on the streaming. Yeah. Maybe we need to make a new bump to put, you know, into the streaming feed too.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Making a note right now.
Yeah. Plus making bumps is fun. So
prep. Bump. So
note to self.
Yeah. So
yeah.
What I've been doing is when people post something on Facebook that's a news item or send me an email that's a news item, I have a cut and paste thing that says, new policy. From now on, please submit Fiends show ideas, news item and such at the below link. And please check at the comments to see if it's been submitted already. Thanks. So I sent this to, I've sent it to like five or six people, and I got it from, let's see. Please check the comments. Okay. So I sent it to a guy today who's a big fan of the Fiends. I guess. I've never talked to him before, but he sent me something about immunizations, you know, containing poison, which is definitely a good topic. It's not something we generally talk about much because there's so many people who've researched it in so much more depth. That and it's kind of a tyranny today, which we're trying to get away from. But, you know, Alex Jones has done 100 hours on this subject.
Yeah.
We should
weigh in on it at some point. I feel like it's a news you can use.
I'll weigh on it.
I don't have kids yet.
You know, I'll say nobody should be able to make anybody get anything, period. Yeah. And we actually. Yeah.
But what about getting it yourself, like your kids, like when you have kids?
We actually did an episode on this an hour ago.
I know. But it's okay. It's okay to follow up and update things. Yeah, anyway, but, go back to your
point. So this guy sends me this link. I sent him my cut and paste. He writes back. Like real kind of snippy, like, hey, you know, if you want to censor what people are sending you, then I guess you're like the freedom Nazi or something like that, you know.
Wow.
Like, you know,
no,
he said,
we don't want to censor it. We want to filter
easier. I don't think he even read the link. You know, I think he just thought I was saying like, I don't know. He said, just trying to spread ideas, info as anyone concerned of the shape of things. And I said, like I said, I'd prefer not to get this by email now. Please read the info at the link below. Thank you. So
all you're basically doing is saying, like, if you're in an office, hey, put it in my box, inbox, not directly on my desk, kind of thing.
So he writes back and says, okay, why don't you just let me know what the list of approved topics are, Mr. Liberty?
No.
And I wrote back, I'm just trying to climb out from under a mountain of incoming emails. He wrote back, I promoted your show on my Facebook page, 500 plus friends and 1,300 subscribers, but that will be deleted. And I said, your page, your property. And he says, I'm going back to Free Talk Live. Much more amicable people. And I don't know about that. They're cranky bastards and we love them for it. But and this is what I wrote back to him. I actually got the idea of a show prep submission link from them. They have a section on their site for that. Try emailing an idea to them. It won't get on the air. They insist it's submitted through their site.
Yeah.
He wrote back. Hang on. He wrote back, and now you can get back to your metaphorical book burning. And I said, having a method to streamline incoming information is not censorship. It's trying to deal with the 200 plus emails a day I get. We're actually going to cover some of the things submitted through our site this week on today's cast. And then he wrote back, what am I supposed to read your mind as is to what is approved material? And I said, if you read that link, there's nothing about covered topics, only about where we'd like them submitted. We get the same thing submitted each week, but, and this is the kind of shit I deal with, okay? This is why I'm trying to streamline having stuff sent to us, because in addition to the, like, you know, 10 news items submitted over and over and over by 10 different people or 20 different people a week, I have conversations like this with people trying to explain to them, I'm not a Nazi, I'm not a book burner, you're misunderstanding me. I do this shit all day, 24/7. Nima does the cast and goes. He's gone. You know, I'm on here doing this 24/7. I got up like 9 hours ago ready to do this, and I've been working on stuff ever since. I was up until 5 hours before that working on Fiend stuff, you know, so... if I've seen a little cranky lately, it's because now that we're doing three shows and I'm on a diet, my body fucking hates me. You know, I'm a little stressed out. Nima's a little stressed out. We're all a little stressed out.
Yeah, yeah.
We love what we do, but...
It sounds like part of it was the communication problems with, you know, talking to each other on the internet. For some reason, the guy just wasn't getting that you were telling him where to put
well,
the
he
stuff,
just
not
went
what
to...
Write.
You know, there's actually
jumped to a conclusion, but yeah. maybe he's cranky too. Maybe he's stressed out. Maybe he's got marital problems or whatever the case is. I'm not trying to say he does, but maybe he's got his own problems. You guys were both just rankled and got into it. That's fine. But for future reference, yeah, throw it on the site on the little page Michael made, and we've already got some submissions there, and it's good stuff. And also, it's great because it's more transparent, right? So listeners can go and see some of the source material we're using, you know, right on our page. Like, oh, did they talk about this? No, maybe they like talking about this. Look, they talked about this for 30 minutes,
yeah,
kind of a thing.
Yeah,
it's kind of open source, you know.
Yeah, and there's not really a method to vote it up like Free Talk Live has, but there is. You can comment on it and say, yeah, I'd love to hear about that.
Right, right. And if, you know, 10 people comment on it and demand it, the Fiends must talk about this, then more power to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So one of the things that someone submitted on there, did you see that email I sent you with the anarchy thing?
I was just going to bring it up. Yes, the post. No, what is that? A flyer.
It's yeah, a flyer that's been hung up all around Oakland. Read the flyer. Yeah.
All right. Doom is here on October 25th, 2012. Convene downtown Oakland all day. Stand up and defend the great city of Oakland. Occupy. Beat the shit out of anarchists and vandals. Aim to maim. Sounds like the title of the event. It's self-imposed leadership unite. Self-imposed leadership
unite. Sounds like a new metal band. Aim yeah. to maim.
Aim
ATM.
To maim.
ATM.
And it's BYOB, in parentheses, bring your own bat. Weapons encouraged. Wow. The statists are violent, huh?
They really are. And, you know, they're going after lefty anarchists who generally don't have guns, and especially in Oakland, so.
Yeah. Well, also, I guess they're kind of confused on what anarchist is. It seems they want to, it's kind of like gay bashing, but they want to bash people who wear black, apparently, and balaclavas. I don't know.
And they say at the bottom, there's a racial thing in it, too. It said, like, pick out
white. Oh, it says white. Yeah, white terrorists. Yeah. White domestic terrorists.
Yeah, so who knows if black people put this up or if it's white people trying to start a race war or make the blacks look back. Now, read the bottom line about martial law.
Ah, if you don't want martial law in Oakland, then the anarchists / vandals must go. Defend our Oakland movement.
So I'd say that's like blaming the problem of the state on the state and acting like the state to try to keep the state away.
Yeah, it's just rife with state. They don't have any concept of the idea of non-state and non-violence.
Now, I would say that if you were a, you know, I think in LibPair, if you owned a you know, a store or a coffee shop or something and someone...
Yeah.
Whether they were in black clothing or not, or whether they're white or not, and they came up and started trying to vandalize your shit, I think you would have right to use some force, physical
right.
force. You know,
yeah.
I think you'd have a right to swing a bat or point a gun at someone who's about to trash your office.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, trash your Starbucks. You know, by the way, in the continental United States, the town that is the furthest away from any Starbucks is in Wyoming. It's in Alta, Wyoming, and it's 170 miles from the nearest Starbucks.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Alta, what part of the state? Like what?
It's actually on it's like on the border of Idaho, so it's kind of
you know,
that part of Idaho and Wyoming.
So I'm guessing it's that far south of or north of Jackson.
It's in Teton County.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Actually, the actual spot that is the furthest in America, continental United States, from a Starbucks is in Yellowstone. But
nice.
But the town is Alta.
What prompted you to look that up? Are you a Starbucks hater or what?
Man, I told you I've been up doing show prep, man.
Yeah, but why that?
I don't know. Oh, because I got that one from the what's the little toolbar we have at the top that measures rank? Alexa.
Alexa ranking.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go sell some stuff.
Okay.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio, streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. Call in soon before they get droned.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Ready to go. I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Michael's ready. He's ready. Bring it back. So, I'm ready.
Did you see this thing about using the First Amendment to end the First Amendment?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty ridiculous. I think maybe we should read that too. Was that also submitted in the show prep?
No. I found that. But now nah, people stop submitting show prep. They think I'm a cranky bastard and don't want anything to do with it anymore. Yeah, the White House, you know, on the White House, they have a thing where you can do a petition and people can sign it, which mm-hmm. is part of the First Amendment, you know, addressing the grievances of your government.
Yeah, and there's some good ones there. They're like end the drug war and there's some good stuff that people have done. Not that the White House really listens, but they like to have the suggestion box in front of their castle.
Well, yeah, it's also how they keep track of who believes what and who needs to be droned eventually.
There's
actually a petition on here. We petition the Obama administration to outlaw offending the prophets of the major religion, religions.
Although theirs wasn't as grammatically clear as
I know.
Your
I kind of corrected it, and it's still awkward. Yeah, and they've got 27,982 signatures to basically get rid of the First Amendment by making it illegal to practice the First Amendment.
Yeah, and when I read it, I was like, wow. Because, okay, we'll read the whole thing. And I read it before I actually saw the page views because I was looking at it on my smartphone. Or not the page views, but the actual number of people who signed it.
Well, they've met their goal. Their goal was 25,000. And I think it's a thing of, like, if it reaches the goal, the president will look at it and think about it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet he's already thought about it. Yeah.
But I couldn't believe it after I read it, seeing that many people in the country just signed a petition like this. I think sign a petition to say there should be no free speech.
I think that Obama or Romney, I think either of them would love to add any new laws they can, because they want to make, you know, if you're a felon, you know, if you're arrested for something and convicted, you know, even a misdemeanor, I mean, you make work for government tax eaters. And if you're a felon, they can take away your guns. They can come into your house anytime they want if you're on parole or probation. You know, I mean, basically.
And your right to vote.
Yeah. And your right to vote. Yeah. So, man, outlaw offending prophets, right, major religions.
So we'll read the actual text of this. So I think you got to get a sense of just how ridiculous the petition is. It's more ridiculous than just its title. So, to enact a law that prohibits any action or literature that offends prophets of major religions. Moses, Jesus, Muhammad.
Now, why just major religions? What about minor religions?
Yeah, exactly. Who gets to choose the religions? I mean, and these are all Semitic religions. They all share the same root. What about Hindu gods, right? Yeah. I mean, what about things that would offend Buddhists? Although Buddhists probably don't get offended. They're too, you know, enlightened. Yeah. who gets to choose that? I'll continue. Such acts offend billions of people and cause unrest in the world. That's really what causes the unrest? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, you know, major world powers throwing their armies and their bombs into the country without permission. It's it's words.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's YouTube videos.
And not just killing brown people, because it's more than that. It's not like the American foreign policy just goes in there and kills people wantonly. It's killing them if they don't submit to our rule and our edicts and our sock puppets that then torture them.
I saw a really good sign on Will Coley's new site today. It said, "Dear Obama, if one of your bombs kills a child in the Middle East, that child's father will go to war with you regardless of what he ever thought about before." You know, regardless of Al-Qaeda or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You know, think about American patriots. You know, think about, like, if someone from another country dropped a bomb and killed your kid, you would want to go to war with those people. You would go to war with those people.
Yeah, and so Scott Horton said that too. He said, you know, if I happen to have been born in Afghanistan and your bomb killed my wife or whatever, strap a bomb on me, I'm ready to go, kind of a thing. So,
Yeah.
They just don't get it. And whoever wrote this petition doesn't get that. They don't get that that's the reason why there's unrest.
They're not
nothing
very,
to do with what people are saying.
They don't have very good punctuation either.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got 25,000, 27,000 people, don't you think one of them can form a complete sentence and you get him to write it instead, or her?
Yeah. Well, is there no editing? Like, that'd be nice too if you could edit, have people edit the petitions. Or
it should be a wiki.
Them.
It should be a wiki. Can you imagine what this petition. Can you imagine what this petition would be for by the time it's, you know, by now, if it was a wiki?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how the government works anyway, right? They're always changing and amending. And
the government is a wiki that the people are not allowed to participate in.
It's a private tyranny wiki.
Or in a way, it's a wiki that everybody is allowed to participate in adding new violence and new oppression.
You know? Bad things.
Yeah.
Furthermore, acts like this contradict the essence of coexistence and peace among humans. I also wanted to go back to, at first it says to enact a law that prohibits any action or literature that offends prophets. I mean, how broad is that?
That's like book burning. I mean, I would say
more than that, because it's not just literature; it's action. Like,
I would say 10% of what's in any given library could probably offend some religion, or more.
Well, when you include the word action, that seems to me like if you rolled your eyes at some street preacher, that's an action.
Some
and it might offend the street
preacher.
Yeah,
and you don't even know his religion, but you know. He could be one of those three major
religions. But you're rolling
religions.
His eyes because he's out there yelling and proselytizing, and you don't want to hear it, so
street
you ignore it.
You said street preacher. I thought you said street creature, like homeless person.
Well, sometimes there's some overlap in the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
All right. So they go on to say, labeling these acts as freedom of speech is similar to labeling murder as freedom of expression.
Oh, man.
That's the liberal machismo flash, right?
That is.
The statist machismo.
Although there are, no, I think Republicans feel the same way about Christianity. You know, I don't know. Don't you think that if Santorum could have, like, thrown people in jail for turning his name into a sex act on the internet, he would have done it?
Yeah. I think he would have. That's gladly,
not really
Christianity, with a big smile on his evil face.
A smirk.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it continues. We all know the chaos such acts can cause, but it's difficult to answer the question. What do they contribute to our nation or humanity in general? And I guess my point there would be, even if a comet doesn't contribute anything, it would contribute to tyranny and control and the degradation of civilization when you try to control what people say.
And
so
everything, you know,
creates the problem.
And the point of the First Amendment, you know, to like, I mean, we're anarchists. We don't believe in needing to write things down, but we're putting this in the context of America has a First Amendment. And this is people petitioning the government through the First Amendment to eliminate a large part of the First Amendment. It literally is, man. It's right, ironic, right. Beyond ironic.
It's a self-destructing premise. They're using the First Amendment to say it shouldn't
well,
exist.
Well, you know, they're using guns to take away guns too.
Well,
so,
how about this? This petition offends the prophets of the Fiend's religion, and so we're putting a kibosh on it.
Kibosh. Yep. We will put the sins on our scape antelope and send it out into the wilderness.
Scape antelope.
In Beastlick, Wyoming. Beastlick, yes. Wyoming. I got to add that to the glossary. That's my word for bumfuck Egypt is Beastlick, Wyoming.
Yeah. What's the etymology of that? Why beasts? Why lick?
I think the first time I said it on the cast, one of my cats was cleaning himself. And I was in Wyoming.
And the cats are called the Beasts. Yeah.
Beastlick, Wyoming, yeah. So, enough of this tyranny. Let's move on to other tyranny. So, the name of this episode is Anarchists for Romney. Just for macho libertarian flash. To confuse people. Yeah.
Yeah. And get page views.
Yeah. Get page views.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, screw them both, but it's more obvious that... that you should say screw them both if Romney wins, I think. Plus, hey, it's somebody new to pick on. I mean, I feel like I've already picked on Obama as much as I want to. It's nice to have a little change of somebody to throw your vitriol at.
Yeah. I think his second day in office, he's going to drone you and me, Romney is.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like, Romney is a pro-abortion guy who basically wrote Obamacare, and most Republicans are still voting for him because they're afraid that if they vote for Ron Paul, there'll be pot-crazed married homos shooting up the streets.
I don't get people. I guess it's just because that's what TV tells them. It's because they're not watching or listening to the Freedom Fiends or looking at the Freedom Fiends blog or any of the other wonderful liberty media out there. They're just stuck to Fox, stuck to MSNBC. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. They're ignorant. They're ignorant. They're not necessarily stupid, just ignorant.
I got to close this tab. I just realized I have a tab open to the White House. I don't like that. I feel like they're in my shit enough already. You know, I don't even like that. I'm not going to link that. People can go search it. I don't want to link the White House. I don't want to give them any more Alexa ranking. I don't want them to get the fiends.
You don't want to share links with Barack Obama.
No, ma'am. No.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll close the tab too. You're right. It does kind of creep you out. I've always found that about all the statist like logos and websites. They just kind of make me feel dirty to look at.
Dirty. Yeah. So we need more good media out there that has distribution that's about the non-aggression principle. And here's why. I searched the term non-aggression principle on Amazon, IMDb, YouTube, and Google. When you search that, my new movie, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, is the first thing to come up on Amazon. It's the only thing to come up on IMDb. It's on the first page of YouTube and the second page of Google. So we need more stuff about it. You know, if something that I made in my bedroom that came out a month ago is like at the top of the charts for that term, we need more stuff.
Yeah. I think you're right. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that explains it or points to it, but not necessarily in the title and maybe not even in the description. So, maybe do some. There's no like YouTube explanation.
There's a bunch of them, you know, but I don't know. I guess my thing's just blowing up. But literally, we're the only thing on IMDb. It's the only movie that has any kind of distribution that has that in the title or in the description, because IMDb searches descriptions too.
Yeah, and even if you go to YouTube and search non-aggression principle, the top is a cartoon that says non-aggression principle. It's got 23,000 views, which is less views than our Guns and Weed trailer.
Yeah, and when I added the movie on IMDb, when I put non-aggression principle in as a tag. It said, we don't recognize this tag. Do you mean, and had a bunch of things that were nothing, you know, like, like, you know, aggression or aggressive or whatever. And it's like, you know, no, that's, it's a new tag, man. Make a new tag.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also, if you search non-aggression principle on YouTube, there's Ayn Rand explains the non-aggression principle to Phil Donahue. That actually might be interesting.
It is. I've seen it. I've seen it, although I think there's something about her loving copyright in there. I don't know. But it's good. It's, you know, I mean, that's kind of mind-blowing that that was on TV in the 60s or 70s, you know.
On real TV.
On real TV, yeah.
Yeah. I bet some people saw that. I bet most people who saw that were like, wow. I'd
well,
never even
Alice Shrugged was a bestseller while she was alive, you know. And they made a movie of one of her other books, Fountainhead.
Ah, okay, okay.
And Atlas Shrugged 2 is out now in theaters.
It is? Okay, I saw a billboard for it. I didn't know if it was upcoming or if it was already out. Are you planning on going to see it? Didn't you see the first one in theaters?
Yeah, we saw it on DVD, on DVD. About 3 weeks after it finished in theaters. It's 1 week run or 2 day run.
Was it really short?
I'm not going to drive to Denver to see a movie, man. That movie never showed in Casper.
Really? Huh? You'd think in Casper there would at least be some enough, you know, of a market for Ayn Rand fans. I mean, there are old Republicans who read Ayn Rand and maybe incorporated some of the ideas of objectivism.
I don't know. I'd be curious if her books are even in the local library. The local library here is run by a consortium of lefty secular humanist types, from what I can tell.
The Casper carpetbaggers.
I sound like Rush Limbaugh there, man.
Yeah.
The public library in my town is... you don't sound like that. I can't even do him. So I saw a movie I liked. I want to recommend a movie to you. It's Apollo 18. It's on Netflix. Serious?
What's it about?
It's now... Apollo 18? Well... America only had up to Apollo 17. Apollo 18 was cut for funding. This movie is kind of like Blair Witch Project on the moon.
And it shares
a lot in common with the movie Moon.
Oh, I love that movie.
Doesn't have the libertarian themes, and it's more of a horror movie, but it's basically Apollo 8, you know, it's supposed to be found footage, you know, like shot by cameras on...
For a failed mission?
It was a secret mission in this world, you know, in about 1970 something. And, you know, they sent three guys up to the moon and it was secret because they were supposed to be placing like a spy radio transmitter on the moon. And they go up there and like they find a dead cosmonaut who's been beat to death. Okay. That's where it starts. And that's all I'm going to say. And they're like, they don't even know, like the cosmonaut mission was secret, you know, like they don't know about that one, and they find this guy. He's like, and then hilarity ensues. No, it doesn't. It gets really kind of scary, but I like it a lot.
It's with hilarious results.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that does sound awesome. I'd definitely be into checking that out. I guess that's one of the things I loved about Moon is science fiction where there's so much solitude. Like, you can't call the cops for help, right? If you're on the moon.
Yeah.
you're alone unless you yourself and your buddy, whoever's there with you, or if you have nobody with you, your own brain has to figure out a way to keep you alive. There's no other help.
That's what this has in common with Moon. Although there's three guys up there, but, you know, pretty soon there ain't three guys up there.
In Moon, two of the guys are the same guy.
Yeah.
And the other thing is
that
robot.
I mean, this one doesn't, like, stretch normal reality as much as Moon, but it gets a lot darker, even, if that's possible.
Okay.
And it's really well done. I mean, the stuff, everything in it pretty much, like, looks like 1970s NASA footage, you know, kind of low res grainy, you know, but not all of it. But, and there were a couple things that like I had problem with suspension of disbelief with, like, and this is not a, what's the deal breaker called? Not a
spoiler.
It's not a spoiler. I was called a deal breaker.
Ladies, that's a deal breaker. You've been watching too much 30, right?
I have been. I started watching them all over again. So, after I finished the new season. So, yeah, there's a couple, like everything is shot from point of view of like either one of the three cameras on the LEM, one of the two cameras on the orbiter, or like the handheld cameras that they're walking around the moon with.
I kind of like that concept. I like that as a
I do, and it's done really well. I mean, that's how it's like Blair Witch, and it's supposed to be, this is supposed to be put together from found footage. But there's actually one or two shots that I'm going like, I just immediately went like, that's impossible, you know, because there's one that's like, looks like it's shot from about a two-story building looking down on the LEM. And I'm like, no, there's no camera there. There's no camera there. Can't be, you know. But it was really quick, and it just went by.
It couldn't have been some kind of secret space satellite orbiting the moon instead of Earth that had
it didn't move, and they didn't have that kind of zoom function then, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So speaking of the space program, that guy, the Red Bull guy that jumped, did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah, man. I was excited about
it. Explain it. I was too. Yeah, guy, explain what happened.
What's his name? Felix... I don't know how to pronounce it. Bumgardner. I always laugh at that name.
Yeah, something like that. He's Austrian or German or something. Felix Baumgartner.
Okay.
I would say Baumgartner.
So I think maybe we talked about the precursor to this on the cast, did we? There was some guy who was in the Air Force decades ago, maybe the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, did a free fall from space.
Yeah, early space program stuff. I think it was like 60,000 feet up or maybe 80,000.
Parachute jump. That. Yeah.
Yeah, and there is actual video of that one too, which is really awesome.
This guy basically
takes a balloon up. Go ahead.
This guy jumped from like 39 kilometers.
Yeah. Yeah.
From a helium balloon, and there's footage of him jumping out on it. It's just breathtaking, and it's high def, and it's like the whole thing was sponsored by Red Bull. And there's a picture going around the internet of him doing that, you know, stepping out of the balloon capsule. And it says that awkward moment when you realize an energy drink has a better space program than your nation, which I actually believe was made by statists saying NASA needs to step up its game.
But steal more money.
Libertarians and anarcho-capitalists are sharing this with glee. In one comment, someone said, it's not that awkward moment. It's that awesome moment.
Ah, wonderful. Yeah, it is. And that's how I felt about it, too. I love that. I watched the video, and it is amazing. And like I said, it had been done before, but not from as up high, but the same concept.
Well, he broke three records. He broke three records in this, like longest free fall, longest parachute jump, and something else. I forget. But
he broke the speed barrier. Yeah, he was going like 700 miles an hour.
Yeah, because when there's less oxygen, I believe velocity is higher. Yeah.
Well, because there's a lack of friction, right? If there's no air to push against you as you're falling.
Yep. There was another really cool independent thing today. It was like a new planet was discovered by like amateurs this week.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. And you know, they always name it.
Did you hear about that a couple years ago? This isn't anything new that, you know, private people and just hobbyists can get to space cheaper than NASA did. There were some kids that floated. I think they were kids, like teenagers, like late teens or something like that, floated a camera, a digital camera, up into space, pretty much into the lower atmosphere, and took pictures of the Earth from
lower space. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, sent it back to themselves. And, you know, they got photos like satellite quality of the Earth. Photos that would have cost NASA, you know, millions of dollars to get.
Yeah. And it's like the whole NASA space program now is just directed. It was always directed at warfare, but now it's directed at warfare against us, I believe. You know, I think that the drones are obvious.
I kind of feel like the warfare is always against us, right? It seems to be always against the populace.
It's open now.
Yeah, maybe more open now.
When I was a kid, you know, when a man first walked on the moon, it was like, we got to do this or the Russians will do it. You know, it wasn't, we got to do this so we can spy on all of you and be able to kill you, which is what
they
it is now.
They pitched it nationalistically and defensively, like, hey, we got to do this.
Right.
Whereas now it's, we must, you know, we must make sure there are no terrorists among us.
Yeah. And, you know, they're expanding the definition of what a terrorist is basically to, like, you know, it's headed towards, like, anybody who criticizes one of the major religions.
Right.
Or the president.
Yeah.
Anyone who criticizes the president.
That's the other thing. To me, the most major religion, the most
statism.
Horrible religion is statism. Yeah. Yeah. And so if you include that in the definition of that petition, then we're all screwed.
Yep. So let's go sell some things.
Okay.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for four buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
So, Nima...
Yo,
you know how I was talking about my former publisher Thompson, who is the parent company that put out the $30 film school, $30 writing school, $30 music school books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they play both sides of the street. Like, we were talking about how, like, I don't like them anymore because they make software for cops to comb social media sites looking for criminal activity.
Yeah.
I also found out from someone I know who works in a law firm that they also write books about search and seizure procedures written for criminal lawyers defending against the cops.
Ah. Well, see, it's both sides of the fence in a sense, but it's also, you know, both promotes the system because even that's working within the system, isn't it?
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm not. That guy who does that.
We're not against.
But. I'm not that guy who does that podcast. And if I'm ever arrested with criminal charges, I am going to hire a good criminal attorney. And I will hope he has read these books. But it just seems kind of weird. You know, I mean, it's kind of like.
Well, they're a company and they got to make money, man.
You know, it's like Mr. Burns says, you know, you and I are like peas in a pod. We both made shells for the Nazis, but mine worked. Damn it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like people who buy the one book are going to, like, look at the Thompson logo and be like, oh, Thompson, I love those guys. And then see the other one and be like, oh, I'm so disillusioned. I mean, they'll probably never see the book, and probably nobody ever looks at the little logo that says Thompson.
Yeah, and both sides of it would say, hey, you know, I'd like to have agendas, but I got to take care of my family.
Got to feed my family, man. The other day, I was thinking of a blog post, like, what's so funny?
I just watched two squirrels. They're fighting, like, death brawl in a tree, and they both fell 20 feet.
Squirrel fight!
And then, like, jumped and ran up the tree and started fighting again.
I've seen squirrels do that. I was walking through the park, like, the week before my wedding when I went back to Texas for the first time in, like, a year. And it was early in the morning, and there were, like, 30 squirrels all jumping, like, throughout the trees and having their little squirrel society. And, like, there was, like, I think it was a boyfriend and a girlfriend, or two boy squirrels were fighting over a girl squirrel. And they were, like, chasing each other through the trees, and, like, one would knock the other off the tree. And it was fun to watch. They make noises, too. Like, they talk. They do, like... Yeah, no. They, like, talk to each other. I'd never seen that before.
Well, I can't hear them today because the wind is, like, gusting at 50 and 60 miles an hour. That's what actually woke me up today. Our house is pretty well soundproof, but the wind woke me up. Yeah. It's that time of year again. And I think what the squirrels are fighting about, I've never seen them, like, this violent. We were feeding them peanuts, like, piles of peanuts forever, like, all year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we ran out. I mean, we'll go to Menards, you know, in a week or two, but we just went there and we forgot to get peanuts. So they're out of peanuts, and I've seen them burying peanuts. So I think that, you know, this is kind of like the socialists when the food stamps run out. They're rioting a little bit, you know.
When the food stamps. Yeah. You were the state for those squirrels.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I guess you're donating the peanuts. Yeah. You didn't steal the peanuts first.
Yeah. But, you know, and actually, like, the day the peanuts ran out, like, a couple squirrels would just be sitting on our windowsill where the peanuts usually were, like, staring at us, like, standing up on their haunches, like,
begging.
What the fuck,
singing
motherfucker?
For their dinner. Yeah.
No, like, they looked aggressive. No? They were like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Obama's going to pay my rent.
He bought me a cell phone.
He bought me a cell. Have you seen the video that some Tea Party movement made, TV
where she's talking about the cell phone and how she got the phone from Obama. He gave me phone.
They just found, like, the most subliterate person with the worst sounding voice they could and just played it over and over. Like, Obama gonna buy me a phone! Obama gave me a phone!
Yeah, I think Adam Curry was in Dvorak were saying it or thinking it was fake or something, you know, like maybe it was an actor or somebody.
It looks like it could be, but you know, you do enough man on the street
interviews.
Even
if it is an actor, yeah, you do enough man on street interviews, and even if it was an actor, they get the same point across.
Yeah.
Same thing. There probably is somebody out there that feels that way.
Oh, there are. I've seen people saying on the interwebs, you know, if Romney gets elected and my food stamps get cut off, I'm going to the streets and there's going to be blood. Which, you know,
we're running up in houses.
If a conservative or libertarian said anything like that, the FBI would be at their door. Yeah, I'd be running up in houses. That was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So screw that, man. That's square. Well, what I was going to say earlier about feeding the family, the publisher having to do what's best. I was thinking of a blog post the other day while I was at work delivering pizzas. And I was like, you know, the thing about cops, man, is what if we just stopped, you know, what if everybody stopped accepting cop money since it's blood money, basically? Just, you know, they come to your store like, sorry, I can't take your cop money.
Well, we saw that.
But then the next delivery was, we did see that one little coffee shop, the little liberal
lefty anarchist in Oregon.
And that was really cool. But my next run was to the jail, which was horrible to deliver to. It was like Kafka-esque in the things I had to go to through that giant building to deliver the damn pizzas.
Can the inmates, the clients order pizza?
No, of course not. No.
The clients.
This was central booking. But yeah, I had to go to like the actual. I don't even know what they call their different rooms, but I had to go run room, and they were like, yeah, that's not this department. Let me call. They were like, oh, you got to go to this giant green door on the side, the corner of the dark street and ring a bell and ask. And I did that, and they were like, oh, this is not it. And it was like really imposing. Like the door was literally like 20, 30 feet tall. It was like the main door of the thing, and it was green.
It's like the door to Mordor.
Yeah, it really was. The rest of the building's, you know, stone and imposing and very brutalist
architecture.
Yeah, and they were like, "No, you must go to the corner." And so I went to the corner, and I finally found the guy. And you know, he takes the pizza. It was a huge order, and gives me a fat tip. And I was like, "Yeah, cool." Put it in my pocket. I said, "You have a nice day." I know it's stolen money and it's, you know, bad, but hey. I need the money too, man. I need the money too.
Got to feed your family a DJ mixer.
A DJ mixer, yeah. I got to feed my hands a nice new crossfader and some vinyl platters.
Well, the problem is people are so brainwashed that if, you know, some percentage stop accepting cops' business, somebody else would just make more. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like...
Right. It would do anything.
This isn't the statist version of it, but when I was a bike messenger in like 86, 87... you know, I realized how important bike messengers were to the financial district of San Francisco. They really aren't.
So you were like a courier, like if something needs to be delivered in the next few hours physically.
In the next few minutes. In the next few minutes. Yeah,
right,
I mean, like...
Really important shit, like business, like high-level shit.
Like, if you stopped off for a cigarette, like, you know, somebody could lose their business. Because you're doing shit like, you know... You have to get this filing to City Hall for this court case to go through, you know, by 5 p.m., including standing in line.
Or somebody somebody's in contempt of court if you don't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, shit like that all the time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how, like, you know, they're not paid very well. I mean, it's better than minimum wage by far, but you're also risking your life, and there was, like, no insurance, no benefits.
See, why is there no tipping? I feel like couriers should get tipped. That should be some kind of social norm.
That was not allowed as a bike messenger with most companies.
Oh, really?
Because people were paying...
It incentivizes it, but it would make you go faster.
Well,
it would make you more...
Here's their thing, was, like... If that was the case, the companies felt people would stand around like waiting with their hand out and kind of intimidate their clients, and they'd lose clients to other people. And it was industry standard. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes people did tip us, you know, like probably one delivery out of 30. But and it was never to a company. It was always when it was to a home. And they probably didn't know that there was a rule, you know.
Right, right. That's the standard at a home. If somebody comes to your door and gives you something you were expecting. Yeah. I guess unless it's the post office who are already stealing the money
or
from
UPS
you anyway.
Who already have to charge so much more because of the post office.
Yeah, right.
So, but I was thinking one day, like, you know, we should go on strike, man. We'll shut down the financial district. And, you know, I mean, like back then, like there wasn't even the internet. It was like if you wanted to, you know, there was computer files. We carried them on disks, on zip drives, which were not what they are now. They were something like the size of a floppy disk and like a half inch thick.
I remember those.
You know, and they held 100 megs.
Hard,
and cost
like hard plastic.
Yeah, and they cost like 40 bucks each. So, you know, we'd carry
They only held 100 megs.
Yep, and that's they cost so like 40 bucks each. We carry like architectural files and blueprints on those. So, I wanted to go on strike, and my dispatcher, you know, who is also my really good friend, Bo. I've talked about him before. He's now a Wall Street attorney. Bo was like, if you go on strike, not everyone's going to do it. And it's just going to be, everyone else is going to be like, more gravy for us. Gravy is like high paying tags that don't take long to do that are on a rush. So, and he ended up calling me a cause without a rebel, which I thought was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. Yeah. You're right, man. I mean, if one person doesn't take the money that other people are offering for a service, somebody else will step in.
And that's
the
free
market. If there's food to be found, people find
it. That was pretty much the free market in action. But
it is.
It would be a similar mechanism or a similar result if people stopped giving money to cops, but it wouldn't really be the free market because it's stolen money. But, you know, a free market of people who don't recognize the stolen money would just take over and say, I'll take your business.
If people stop letting their money get stolen by the people who then use that stolen money and distribute it to the cops.
Yeah, and I think that anybody who would do that is very brave because, you know, I think some people probably put a brick through your window for, you know, cops or friends of cops would probably put a brick through your window for not taking cops' money.
Yeah, there'd definitely be some horizontal
union thuggery type thought. Mm-hmm. You know, like the guy who wanted to hunt me down and eat my face was a union member, you know.
Right. Well, and you'd have neighbors and busybodies and people in the community who knew you and would just think, oh, you want everybody to murder each other and die because you want our cops to leave.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I don't want cops murdering me and stealing my money.
We want peace. That's why we want the cops to leave. And, you know, I have a statement to make that's kind of macho to libertarian flash, but kind of I think might have some basis that, you know, could probably get my face eaten. I really think that people who need a gang behind them, you know, a union or the government or both,
are pussies.
I mean, they really are. I mean, I think that they're like, you know, people generally, you know, people with families are often overwhelmed by the pressure. It's understandable. You know, you got a kid looking up at you with like your God, because that's how kids look at their parents when they're really young, going like, yeah, I'm hungry, daddy. You know, it's like, you're like, you feel like you're less of a man if you can't feed that kid. And, you know, it's like, I kind of think I'm more of a man than those people. Cause I can support myself and partially support my wife. And we get by and help her kids out occasionally when they need it. You know, without
her kids are grown though.
You know, I'm not saying we don't send them money every week. I'm saying like, you know, if their car breaks down and they have to get to work, we'll give them $100 or something. But, you know, we take care of our families without a gang behind us. So I think that, you know, I think it's less manly to need the gang behind you.
Oh, I agree completely. Yeah. It's also less manly to think that you do need the gang or else, you know, it's basically saying I can't take care of myself, right? I need this gang of people.
So should we call this episode Union Members Are Pussy Faggot Impotent Bastards?
Traffic. It's more than just the union members, man. I mean, the whole state's a gang.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. You know, Ben Quaker.
We need a bigger tent for our beef on that one.
Yeah. I mean, just tax eaters, statist, collectivists.
Yeah.
Collectivists. Which I'm thinking of them collectively, though. I'm thinking them collectively and lumping them all together.
It's a self-destructing logic there.
Yeah. Rhodes. Status, we should call them Rhodes Scholars.
That's great. I love it. Coin that. I guess you've already coined it, but put it in the glossary and definitely bring it up again and again and again.
Yeah,
I think
I'll spell it Rhodes like the thing you drive on, not Rhodes, the scholarship.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. But people will get it. I hope. Maybe it's too highbrow, but I love it.
Let's run it up the flagpole. I'll post it on Facebook right now. Yeah.
Okay.
See how it goes. So there's a new website. Type this in. It's somebody who loves us, and I've never heard of them, and they have a really good blog. And they made ads for Guns and Weed that say Guns and Weed Become a Freedom Fiend, and put them on here.
Really?
They look really cool. Yeah. Type in.
Cool.
TEODESIAN.net. It's Tango Echo Oscar Delta Echo Sierra, India, Alpha, November.net. Hey, I did it. I'm getting better at that. I realized that what I was doing wrong with...
You got it in rhythm, but the BPM was pretty low.
It was pretty low.
But good,
you know,
job.
That's how you become a good musician, playing with a metronome. You know,
right.
You play the song.
Start at 60 BPM and slowly
as
work
slow
way
as
up.
You can without making a mistake, and then you work up. And I'm working on it. I really do want to learn the alphanumeric NATO alphabet. Alpha phonetic alphabet, because it's really useful with a lot of things like tech support and giving out URLs on the interwebs. And I was doing it wrong. I was doing it like I could go through and say, you know, Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta Echo Foxtrot Golf, etc. But I had to think to spell words out, and it's easier to practice doing that if you're looking at a word, at least for me, than just doing it from your head. But I'm gonna get to where I can do it from my head. I was looking at the word when I did it too. I'm not.
See, I do it from my head and I do it fast, but I make the words.
You make
up
your own up.
Command.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you said that's lame, but I think it can be funny. Especially you can make the words,
well,
you know, related to your tech purpose.
I used to do that before with tech calls, and it's better than not using anything. But a lot of people, especially
it throw people off that might not be native English speakers because they might not know the
when you
the
say
local
NEMA
parlance.
For N and Fiend for F. Yeah,
Although the Indians would probably get NEMA,
but the Indians all know this with particular words, and
they do. When I was working in a tech support call center, the outsourcers would always use the NATO alphabet, and it was helpful.
In Muslim countries, they use Wilco instead of whiskey for W because they don't want to say whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess Indians aren't Muslim, but the Indians that I would talk to would always still say whiskey.
Whiskey.
And they would say things like whiskey tango, and I'd be like, oh, that sounds delicious.
Whiskey tango? Would you like to do the whiskey tango with me?
I would.
Whiskey
I would like
tango.
To drink some whiskey tango.
Yeah. Whiskey tango foxtrot is what the fuck. People use that a lot.
Nice.
There's actually a bar in Brooklyn called Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I'm on Todesian.net, which is the English way to say it. Oh, it says Molon Labe in green underneath.
Yeah,
it. That's
hit refresh. Hit refresh a few times and look at the ads over on the right. A Guns and Weed one will come up after three or four. But they list us. If you look at those little images of like stuff they recommend on the front page.
Ah, do you like Guns and Weed? Become a freedom fiend. How awesome! Oh, I like their Guns and Weed logo, man.
I really do.
Go off that.
I know.
It's a mini gun, which
I know.
Is a
it's a mini gun,
barrel Gatling gun.
And what's the other thing, man? It looks like a spear gun.
I don't know. It looks like a rail gun, maybe. Like it shoots an electrical laser at you.
There you go.
I don't know, man. It's pretty awesome.
I like this site. It's got some good blog posts on it. I'll link it.
Yeah.
And it's got links to the fiends. Go ahead.
The first video is the Felix Baumgartner, and at the bottom it says our new favorite Austrian. Is he like from Austria?
He's from
like
Austria.
That kind of Austrian?
That's the joke.
Really cool. That's really cool. So he's a part of the Austrian School of Space. Space School instead of the School of Economics. That's cool, man. Cool. Go Felix. Go Felix, man. That's a freedom fix, and he's a freedom hero.
Yes. Rhodes Scholar, a statist.
My brother-in-law was like, does it prove any like scientific points? And I guess I was like, well, it proves that if you were in a low Earth orbit space station in the future, you could don a suit and escape by just jumping out.
Escape the state.
Escape. Yeah, there you go. If the state tries to take over your libertarian orbiting space station. Maybe that's a frontier, you know. I guess it is. I mean, it's obviously a frontier,
orbit. We're gonna build libertarian orbit.
Libertarian
space.
Orbit. Yeah, yeah.
Low
why go all the way to the moon when you can just go? You just take balloons up. You know, you don't even need an expensive setup. You know, to leave Earth orbit. Just take a balloon.
Well, isn't there that free speech platform at UC Berkeley that's like 2 feet above the ground? And the theory is that you're not on any Earth.
Yeah, you know. Why not take that a little bit further and go, you know, miles and miles above ground?
Well, for one thing, it's really fucking cold miles and miles above ground. I'm in Wyoming, and it feels like I'm above ground. I mean, we got like 60 mile an hour gusts today.
It is.
Let me
it
open
is,
the
but
window.
It's probably warmer than the moon, though.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason, and maybe this is also why the government loves to get into space so much, is the United States government pretty much owns their monopoly of violence extends to space, and not
well.
To
that's
space
why they wanted
above
to plant,
America.
That's why they
space above the Earth.
They had to get there and plant a flag first. Can you hear this wind?
Exactly. That was wind.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was like an air compressor, man. That was loud.
No.
Did you just crack your window
here,
and that's what you hear?
Yeah, just listen.
Jeez. Oh, I miss it. I remember that wind. I remember.
Yeah, this time of year it starts a lot like that.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. It's not as windy in Texas. I had forgotten that. I was so used to living in really windy places. You know, Riverton was really windy. Casper is way windier than Riverton. And in Washington, it was also really, really windy. Like, on pretty much every day, you guys have some kind of wind. And on once or twice a week, it's just like blowing you away. Like, there's when I first got to Wyoming in the news station, there was a little poster on one of the secretary's desks that said Wyoming windsock, and it was like a big sailing chain tied to a pole and like blowing in the wind.
Yeah, and it said, like, you know, I think we used that for an episode, didn't we?
Oh, did we? Maybe. If we didn't, we should. But yeah, man, here in Austin, though, it's in Texas in general, it's just kind of nice. And you know, instead of windy, we get the humid. We get the humidity. Like, if that's the worst thing when you go outside and you're just sticky with sweat. But I guess I'll take that over wind any day, because at least I can talk on the phone and not have it sound like.
Yeah. Okay, I added Beast Lick Wyoming and Rhodes Scholar to the Fiends glossary.
Nice.
Yeah. God, listen to that wind, man.
It's beautiful. Yeah,
it is.
And I'm surprised it sounds so soothing and good on the microphone. How far is it away? You're using the ribbon mic, right?
Yeah, so it's both sides. You know, it's omnidirectional or bidirectional. So it's pointing at me, but it's also pointing away from me at the window.
Right.
So
right.
That was some pretty good wind recording right there.
It was really good, yeah. Open it back up and say something epic while it's blowing with the rhythm.
Nah, it's hard to reach around my monitor and do that. It actually strains my shoulders. It's at a really weird angle.
Okay.
I'm not willing to do that for you, Nima. Sorry, Nima. I can't do that.
Well, I'll just get a petition, and then since enough people signed it, you'll be socially contracted to do it.
Guns to make me do it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Beast Lick, Wyoming. The Fiends version of Bumfuck Egypt.
With more Rhodes Scholars per capita than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's take a little break here and come back.
Break.
And finish
no,
up.
No.
We can say break on our own cast, man. It's not live.
Oh, people are liking the, people are really, but it plays on the radio.
Oh, you're right.
People are really liking Rhodes Scholar. Okay. We'll be right back.
All right. What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Okay. People are loving Rhodes Scholar on the interwebs here, Nima.
Good, man. I mean, I loved it. It was like it clicked immediately. It's very meme-ish.
It's also really good of I like ways to insult idiots where they don't realize you insulted them until they walk away from the conversation.
And then they're like, "Shut up, Becky.
You're in trouble when I get to a dictionary. Yeah. You're in trouble when I get to the Fiend's glossary."
You're in trouble when I get to the dictionary. Is that a reference to something, or is that
Michael
Dean original?
It's from Simpsons or something. And like idiot statists who went to college will probably like call you an idiot and correct you because you spelled Rhodes wrong in their mind.
Oh, they will. Yeah, they will. Like, that's not even how you spell Rhodes Scholar. It'll just go over their heads. Yeah, it'll be so far above their heads that they'll need a stewardess. saw that as a comment on Facebook the other day. I thought it was kind of clever.
Yeah. The only thing I like about Facebook is the immediate feedback. There's not another web presence.
That's what's so good about it. Like,
yeah,
the only
that's
thing
why I like.
That,
the only
that's
thing
what makes it
it
amazing.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I posted this. We took a 4-minute bathroom break and I came back and there's already like 10 comments on it and 8 likes, you know.
I also think it's the best way in the world that the world has conceived of yet for networking. I mean, there's stuff that is more specific to that, like LinkedIn, but you got to pay for it.
It's not the best way of networking, but it's the most immediate probably way of networking. Although, A lot of people have success with Twitter.
It's the path of least resistance, I think, for networking. It's the easiest way to get the most bang for your non-existent
bucks.
It's
like this wonderful free thing that the government reads everything you do and throws you in a cage for it.
They're going to do that anyway, though, man. I mean, I know it's you can encrypt yourself, and you should, but anything you do in public, they can watch. They can find out what it is. You know, your cell phone calls. If you live in a major city, your driving habits and your walking.
They're putting cameras on cop cars now that are, like, pointed out.
Like in every direction?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, see, I guess the status, what they would really want to do if I were them is have the cop cars be recording constantly into a server, you know, off-site. So they find out literally, those are their eyes. Like, they use those as eyes on the street 24/7.
Well, they're going to replace the cops with drones eventually, RoboCops. You know they are.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And then, like, all the cops...
Take the human element out of it, and then we don't have to question, well, will our cops fire on citizens? Will our cops murder people in cold blood if the state tells them to? I mean, in a sense, they already do. You know, that's... Ben Stone was saying that's basically what your job is if you're a part of a SWAT team.
Yeah.
You're
the
evil wrath of the state, and you don't care if this person has the wrong address, or you don't care if this person is you know, a political prisoner or somebody who's being attacked because they morally believe something and they didn't hurt anybody. You don't care. Your job at that point is just to kill. You're as dumb as a bullet, I think Ben said.
Yeah.
So, but you know, there are people that have conscience. Maybe they don't join the SWAT team. Maybe they're a patrol officer or a peace officer. And you know, I guess it's almost a fine line between a drone in the sense is if you're a functionary for the state and you're a cop and you do whatever you're told anyway and you just do your job, you're kind of a drone in a sense, I think. But if the state could take that whole human element out of it, take the whole human conscious out of it, I think they would in a second, and they're probably trying to do that.
Well, the Army, you know, Boston said 15 years ago, the Army wants everything to be smart weapons so they can have, you know, brutal killers at a mile away who...
And disarm slaves when they go home from work.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want them to be able to go back to selling shoes and not still being able to shoot a guy at a half mile with a deer rifle, you know.
Right, right. Oh, they would love that. They would love that.
Well, that's what drones are, man. I mean, you know, and they've actually...
Well, drones aren't autonomous yet. I think they're pushing in that direction.
Yeah, but still, it disarms the operator because the operator doesn't have the system. He goes back, you know.
He goes home.
He goes home, yeah.
Yeah. But it... Theoretically, if he wanted to, the operator could turn the drone around and fly it over. He could frag somebody. I mean, I guess that's why they like to have them so far removed from the field of battle. You know, they probably don't know the people.
I'll bet they could do that, but I'll bet they couldn't turn around and hit a target in the U.S. or hit a U.S. target. You know,
well, it's too far. I don't think the technology
I don't think they could hit the army base in the country where they're killing the terrorist. Mm. Not that we really want them... Not that we want them to, and we're not even suggesting anything like that, but we're saying...
Militarily, I'm not sure it's a foregone conclusion that they would build that in. Like, it seems like they would
have to... They might have to have a reason to do that.
Maybe. Well, the thing is, what if the enemy takes over your base? What if the enemy takes over your base and you need the drone to attack the target that's already inside the base?
I kind of think that would be so... I'm guessing that would be a fail-safe that would be password protected that a different guy had the access codes to, you know?
A supervisor, yeah.
A nuclear football kind of option where, like, two guys holding revolvers at each other have to turn the key.
yeah, they could do something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess they might.
But, you know, eventually, the way things are going, eventually that's going to be automated. And, you know, automated is hackable, too.
Yeah, that's another
point to bring up. Although all these computers, I guarantee they are not connected to the internet. But they are connected to intranets, which are hackable.
Yeah.
The whole thing's terrifying, man. I don't even like thinking about it. I don't like thinking about kill bots over my head that could be programmed by a person to kill me or could fail and kill me, you know?
Yeah. Did you see that thing, speaking of future technology, a fiend sent us a thing. It was a website, and I think really it's to a movie, but it's like a trailer to a movie, and what the concept is it's in the future, and people enhance themselves, you know, like robotic eyes, robotic arms, stuff like that. But it's not like – it doesn't seem cliched. It's very fresh feeling, and part of the concept is is that, you know, you got to give the corporation access to it in case they need to do maintenance or whatever the case is. So then the corporation can shut you down if you're not in compliance with the state or the corporation.
No, I didn't see that.
Shut down your arm or your eye.
You know why I didn't see that?
Why?
Because it wasn't submitted to the proper page on the Freedom Fiend
site. This was before that, though. This was like a couple weeks ago. This was a couple weeks ago.
No, I didn't see it because I got like 7 different people sent it to me, and I was overwhelmed by it and didn't see it.
Okay.
It probably led me to this new thing. And what is the problem that people have with, please put things in this box instead of throwing them on my floor, you know?
Oh, he's just the one guy, man. I don't know if you could say people have a problem with that.
Well,
but yeah, that
collectivist. I'm a collectivist, then, if I'm saying that. People. Damn people. Yeah, foolish humans.
It was just the one guy, and maybe he was having a bad week or something, man.
I'll never know, because he's blocked, man.
Well,
he's not blocked, actually. I haven't figured out a way yet to block TalkBack. And I didn't want to have him blocked for me and have you getting copies of it.
You can block. Just mark it as spam. Well, then it'd all be spam. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
No,
I'll figure it out.
Okay.
When we get a real someone worth blocking, I'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. Luckily, we haven't got a whole lot of hate mail.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I kind of wish we had some callers that we could argue with us on the call-in shows.
I really do too. Arguing with status is a lot of fun. Sometimes, if you're in the mood for it, and I think it's informative to other people. Like, I love it when other podcasters post debates of themselves debating status, or warmongers. You know, Scott Horton played a thing of some clip of him at some conference where he was debating some warmonger about Iraq, and it was just great to hear somebody come out and spit the status talking points and then have, you know, a good on-point anarchist just rip them to shreds. There's something very satisfying about that.
Yeah, I like watching it. I don't like doing it. I'm not that good at it. I just say, well, food.
Yeah, good point. Well, hopefully Will Coley gets to do that to this Berkman guy.
Yeah, we set up duels and then have our proxy take them, which isn't how it's supposed to work. Only the person who accepts the duel is supposed to be able to do that. But yeah, Rollins never wrote me back, by the way.
Well, what I did with this duel is I told Will Coley, and he was like, I'll do it. Yeah. And then Will Coley called him out, and we didn't hear back from the guy. So I called him out. We didn't hear back from the guy. Now you're calling him out.
I'm going to call him on the phone at his law firm today and be polite and ask if he wants to do it.
Yeah. I just feel it's very disingenuous if you post a video saying I will debate anybody
anytime.
Right. And then the first comment on that video is, okay, let's debate, and you ignore it. I think that's very disingenuous.
Well, I mean, that's a comment on a YouTube video, and people that are busy don't have time to check every YouTube video comment. But when it's
fresh and new, if you just post something, are you telling me you won't want to see the feedback the next day? I feel like everybody who just posts something on YouTube, they're going to at least go back and look at it once.
That guy was pretty hard to get contact info for, which leads me to think he wants to say what he wants to the world and not hear what it says back.
I believe that 100%, but then it's very disingenuous to say in your video that you'll debate anybody.
And I'm kind of like that too. I'm kind of one-way communication to an extent. You know,
No, man. You listen to every comment, every piece of feedback you get, you generally respond to.
And like,
you're very good about that.
Okay. I feel like I'm not, just because somebody fucking said I was a book burner today, and because, like, I'm feeling overwhelmed even by the favorable people doing that, the amount of it. But also, I would never, ever say, I will debate anyone, anywhere, anytime. I would say, I will stand up and say, well, if you, anywhere, anytime. But I don't like a debate. I'm not that good at it. Which isn't to say that my thoughts don't have merit and truth. It's just, I don't like to, you know, it's more like I'm so good at recognizing logical fallacies. Uh-huh. And it's really hard to find someone to debate when they're wrong, if they will do it with,
if they won't play by the rules of logic,
right.
I see what you're saying, and that's fine, because you don't ever call people out for debates.
No,
this guy did, and it reminds me of the Ben Stone thing, where he's, I guess maybe it's even a Quaker thing, where he says, you know, he never likes to talk in any kind of definites or absolutes about the future because he doesn't know what's going to happen. But this guy said, I will do it. He said, I will debate anybody on this point. And we're trying to debate him on the point. And so he told a lie if he doesn't end up debating us, because he will not debate us on the point.
Yeah, but let's give him the benefit of doubt, and I will call him on the phone today.
Okay, okay.
Yep. So while we've been sitting here, the anarcho-capitalist Reddit of my I hope Romney wins is getting more and more pluses, and the libertarian one is getting more minuses.
Hmm. I guess that's because libertarian, if you call yourself, if you're trolling the libertarian Reddit instead of the anarcho-capitalist Reddit, then you must still be some kind of minarchist.
Yeah, I said, I posted that as a comment on here. I said, I love that this is getting voted up here and voted down on the libertarian subreddit. And the libertarians are giving half-measure replies about how one tyrant is somehow better than another tyrant. Libertarians are often half-measure folks, and smart libertarians eventually become anarcho-capitalists.
Yeah, although for me, libertarianism includes anarcho-capitalists. Like, it's a bigger circle. You know, it would include both anarcho-capitalist and minarchist.
Yeah, I'd say all anarcho-capitalists are libertarians, but not all libertarians are anarcho-capitalists. Although I think there's anarcho-capitalists who disagree with that and say, no, I'm not a libertarian. I'm a meh.
Yeah, and I guess that's just splitting hairs, so why even go into it?
Well, actually, like, you know, where in the phrase anarcho-capitalism is the non-aggression principle? It's not really in there, but I guess it is in the anarchism sense of if you're having any kind of aggression coming out of you, you're being a government.
Well, also ripe in anarchism is no rulers, and I think rule is aggression and aggression is rule. Like, if you're trying to rule somebody when you point a gun at them and say, give me your wallet, you're forcing them into it. You're saying, you must give me your wallet or else. You're setting up a rule, and it's a small one-time rule maybe, but I still would consider you a ruler. So
I just can't believe how many libertarians on this on Reddit, on the libertarian subreddit, are arguing in favor of one candidate over the other, not for the same reason I am. You know, I'm basically saying like Romney will screw things up more in a different direction, and that's a good thing for people that live on the crumbs like me of what falls out of on the philosophical crumbs of what falls off of the moldy bread. But they're saying like, you know, I mean, they're making an argument for Romney because they're, you know, I don't know, because they don't like socialism, or which is funny because he's a socialist.
You're saying I hope he wins because he sucks so much.
Right.
I hope he wins because things will be better and we'll have wonderful lack of tyranny.
Right. All the libertarian arguments that I'm pointing out are lesser of two evil arguments, where I'm saying, nah, we need a new kind of evil.
a new kind of evil. The more evil of two evils.
Whereas, you know, then there's people like Larkin Rose made an eloquent statement for why he's actually, he's going to vote for Obama.
No, really?
I think he said he's going to vote for Obama because he thinks that the world will collapse.
He's going to have some kind of interesting.
Well, the world will collapse.
Yeah, he's got another take on it.
Okay. And I've heard a few like preppers who are saying that too, like people who are just disgusted with Obama who are actually going to vote for him because they think it's going to hasten, you know, the preppertopia.
And voting is so much work for nothing. Like, even if that was your point, like, and you're not abstaining from voting because it's just stupid.
I won't go anywhere. I can't bring a gun, and you can't bring a gun into a voting place.
Oh, really? That's, well, like, universal? Is that, like, an actual law, or it just happens to be that way?
Actually, I can't bring a gun into my voting place, which is one of the many reasons I won't set foot in there.
Theoretically, you could absentee vote, and while you do it, you're carrying your gun.
There you go. I am armed at my desk.
That's 5 minutes if I do it absentee, and, you know, half an hour to an hour if I do it in person, that I really don't want to put that amount of time and effort into the state at all. So, there's that.
Yeah. I can't find the thing about Larkin Rose saying he's going to vote for... I'm not sure of that, and I don't want to say that's true, because I think if it's not true, I think he'd be really insulted by that. But I swear I heard him say it somewhere. I think it was a macho libertarian flash thing. I don't think... If he said it, I don't think he really meant it, but maybe. I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
Well, we could ask him. I've got his email.
I've been trying. It's hard to get hold of him these days. He's been real busy and had a lot of things going on, and some like little emergencies pop up. I mean, I wrote to him a while back and wanted to do a follow-up interview, and he's like, yeah, but I can't do it right now. So I hope things are better for him. I hope things are good for him.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. Me too. Any follow-up on Foster Gamble paying for Cody Wilson's gun printer?
No, I just threw that bottle out into the ocean and hope it lands somewhere. I did tell him. Yeah, we did. If you didn't hear the Sunday Fiends, go back and listen to it. It's pretty good. It's live from Libertopia. We had Drew Phillips there on the mumbles, grabbing people and interviewing them for us. And, you know, an interesting thing about one of those cats, I didn't realize until I looked him up later. Jeffrey Lim, the guy who wants to start the from www.endorster.net.
Endorster.net, which is a pretty cool concept.
And he got to have the www. He is a recipient of the Thiel Fellowship, which we've talked about. It's where the founder of PayPal pays really smart people to drop out of college and follow their dream.
Yeah.
And he only does it for 20 people a year. And
I'm sure the dream that you have to pitch has to be something that would make society freer and better.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, I'm going to sit and bitch about the government on the internet.
I think you have to make it. We're
yaktivists.
Yaktivists, yeah.
I like that word. That's a kind of derogatory term. Well, I made it up and I looked it up. And it only exists like 12 places on the internet, which means it doesn't really exist, and I made it up. But, you know, some people have said that.
That's a good point of how massive the internet is.
I know.
Like, before the internet, you wouldn't say, yeah, it's in 12 places, and be like, wow, it doesn't exist. You'd be like, oh, cool, it exists.
Yeah, but every place it exists is, every single one is derogatory, like talking about people who are all talk and no action.
Yeah.
But I would proudly say,
we are proud activists. Talking is an action.
Talking can get you thrown in a mental institution.
Yes, but it's an action. You have to move your mouth. Your lips are acting. Your tongue is acting.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, force.
Vocal cords are acting.
Picking up a pen is force, too, if you want to use physics definitions. But, no, but it's an action that's, it takes some commitment, too. I mean, it takes commitment to get, you know, what we do. I mean, we make zero money. We make about $40 a month, and that's about our expenses. And, you know, we're working 3 days a week. You're working full time at a real job, at two jobs, so you don't have to beg like all these other cyber beggars. And
that's mostly it'll decrease a little bit, and I'll put more attention into the Fiends once I get some gear that will help with art and the Fiends. I mean, I am going to get a camera too after I get the DJ 9000.
Is that really what it's called?
No, you're always making fun of it and calling it something like that.
The DJ 3000. but talking. You know, saying that yaktivism is empty is totally specious, because these days things you say on the internet can get you, you know, can get you attacked by the police, can get you targeted by the IRS, and with Brennan Robb can get you thrown in a mental institution and arrested without arrest and without your rights being read and without access to, without the things you get when you're arrested. You know, I mean, that's what the Nazis did. They used psychology and mental institutions to deal with dissidents.
Well, also remember what Dick Dale said when he said that something he learned from some monk, that thoughts turn into words, and words turn into actions, actions turn into habits, and habits become your character.
Yeah.
Well, that's really important, especially if you consider that what the state is, at least how we defined it, the state is mostly the myth that other people control you. So those are the thoughts, and then those turn into words like, hey, there ought to be a law, and that turns into actions. People are pointing guns at other people and telling you to do that thing. And then that leads to habits, which, you know, the state does that all the time, and then character, which is tyranny. So that's what we have now. So what you have to do to break the chain is change people's thoughts to where they don't think. They don't believe in the myth of the state. They do think. They think about the myth of the state, and they reject it. So what we're doing is we're trying to change people's actions when we act by talking and trying to change their minds.
Yeah, and I mean, ending slavery in America and communism in Russia started with words. And they started with words that people got thrown in jail and beat up for. And, you know, Reagan didn't pull down the Berlin Wall. Rock and roll did, man. You know, really. I mean, there's been a lot of case made for that, of like, you know, Reagan just showed up at the front of the parade and waved a flag and said, I did this. But really, it was time, man. It was time, because you can't keep ideas out with a wall. And Western rock and roll got in through radio, through, you know, hand copied cassettes. People traded blue jeans, and they were like, hey, we want all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. It really does work both ways, and the statists are always putting out media. In fact, they've won the battle already. That's what we're fighting against, is the fact that the statists have already won the battle of ideas, and we have to win it back. You know, the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power from cassette tapes that were distributed among people in Iran. He was in exile in France, and he would do, you know, the then version of podcasts, basically, and rail about the American infidels and imperialists and how we needed to go back to an Islamic fascist state, pretty much. You know, it was for evil, but it worked. His means of taking power was mailing tapes that people would then copy with tape recorders.
And think about that. Like, that is early podcasting. It's the power of one guy sitting in a room somewhere in exile. Mm-hmm. You know, doesn't matter where he is geographically, reaching an audience that wants to hear it.
Yeah.
So exactly. I think we're about the end of our time here. Oh, you got more?
Yeah.
You got more?
No.
You got more, man. You got more? Would you talking to me?
So I think we were very succinct and clever there. So I'd like to leave it at that before I want to leave idiotic it with, and shoot crocodile and
no. I want to. Someone thought crocodile was a joke, and they saw that movie. And they're like, wow! And I'm
it is a joke.
You can't make this shit up. You can't make this shit up.
Yeah.
So I will end with this. This made my day. That Dick Dale commented on my Dick Dale interview.
Oh yeah.
He said
it was that was an amazing interview, by the way.
It really was. And that's part one of three, and it gets weirder as they go on, and weirder and cooler.
So, we should look to the future a little bit. Part two is coming out on what, Saturday?
No, you're putting up the Scott Beezer
On Thursday.
And then part two of the Dick Dale is going to come out sometime next week. I'll try to do
it. I thought you wanted me to come out early on Thursday because you wanted to still do Dick Dale on Saturday.
Well, why don't we put it out today, man? Why don't you just FTP me the files before you go to work and I'll do it. How's that?
Okay. FTP you the files and I'll write the show notes and email those to you.
Yeah,
and
then I can have Dick Dale come out. Yeah, because I'm still like, you know, I'm so amped to podcast and we're finishing. I got to do something else.
Although, man, do we want to do two, you know, fiendish podcasts on one day? Is that okay?
I'll make yours come out tonight at midnight or something.
Okay, cool. I don't want Scott Beezer to get lost in the mix because he was really awesome.
Well, he's not going to get lost in the mix because, you know, the people that subscribe to both will listen to both eventually. Right. And the people that subscribe to one don't listen to the other. So here's what Dick Dale said. And I want to end with this. He said, and I'm not bragging about this. And I'm just like, I want to read it and it's cool. And it's like, he said, Michael, thank you for being a true and real person. One that does not interview on sensationalism. You are a dying breed. You appreciate and write from the heart. Don't ever change. For that, I thank you, Dick Dale. And that was like, I mean, to me, that's like a blessing from the Pope to a Catholic, if I was a Catholic,
it is,
you know?
It is.
And,
well, you were telling me that he was, I guess, sort of disillusioned with the way some other media will treat him and will just pare him down to a few sound bites and then write around that whatever they wanted the topic to be.
Yeah.
But with that Dick Dale interview, man, you just let him, like, say his manifesto into the mic.
I talked so little, man. I talked so little. It was, you know, and really, like, and this isn't a diss, but the two people that we've complained about interviewing us who didn't give us enough time or talked over us too much should go listen to that interview and see how you do it with someone that's got a lot today to say. You know, or you do it like we did it on Libertopia. If you're going to have 10 people on, have them one at a time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Libertopia ended up being really good. I thought it was like a bunch of mini bites of Anarchy Gumbo. You know, it was bite-sized cups or Anarchy Gumbo shots in little test tubes that you could take to the face and then take another one. So
10 anarchists, tapas. 10 anarchists, one cup.
Gross, dude. Gross. No, it was 10 cups. They were nice and self-sealed.
There you go. All right, man.
One cup. Gross. Gross, Michael. See, we go to a dookie joke. We end on such a great philosophical and eloquent note, and then we have to bring it back.
But
to,
I set that aside
for Dick, on each other.
I set that aside for Dick Dale. I did not do anything like that.
Yeah. You okay.
Know? All right.
You did. You're right. All right. Peace.
All right. Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.